Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Today on The Grave Talks, A Reluctant Spirit, a conversation with author Kathleen Berry. Kathleen Berry's journey into the paranormal began with a single night at Nevada's Goldfield Hotel. Once skeptical and struggling with chronic fatigue syndrome, she joined a TV news crew as an impartial observer, only to encounter eerie phenomena that changed her beliefs. A psychic declared her third eye had awakened, forcing her to reconcile those experiences with her evangelical faith. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with Kathleen Berry about her book, A Reluctant Spirit, A True Tale of God, Ghosts, and a Skeptical Christian, and how one night changed her life. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today and talk about this book.
Oh, I'm looking forward to our conversation.
It's interesting to me because a lot of people who are Christian, who consider themselves Christian, they're not really open to paranormal, and they dismiss it as it's not real or something. I always find it interesting because when you look at Christians and people of faith, a lot of people believe in spirits and they believe in visions and things, you know, that are angels, guardian angels, which are kind of, you know, in a way, paranormal.
Yes. And what's interesting is that with my background, I was an evangelical Christian for a while in my college years. And the act of me becoming an evangelical Christian was very supernatural. But once I found a church and went there, they're like, no, you know, and you can't do that. Because when I became born again, I felt this onrush of energy, similar to the end of my book. I mean, it just like whoosh. And it was such a profound feeling. But then I went to church and they're like, oh, don't talk about that. No, that can't be. That can't be. And no, there aren't angels. And heaven forbid if your loved ones come to visit you after they've crossed over, that's the devil.
And so that's something I have a hard time syncing up in my brain. I personally find it beautiful if someone, yes, if I hear a story about a visitation dream or something that happened to someone that, you know, and it could be for me finding a penny, you know, or seeing a hummingbird. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel a connection with those two things. So to me, I find that to be very comforting. And I think it's interesting when people want to dismiss it like it doesn't happen, which actually makes you feel crazy.
Yes. You're so correct that, you know, it's against what Christianity was. And especially if you look at the early Christians were really quite mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't don't do this, don't associate with that. It was about connecting to spirit, connecting to the overarching spirit. But when I went to that church, it closed me down and my body, I was fighting it. I fought it. I didn't stay there that long because I had had experiences where I had felt God as a child and they're like dismissing it. No, it's the devil. And I'm just like, no, it wasn't the devil. the devil doesn't come in love, you know?
Right.
And so I thought I had disregarded all that baggage before I got caught up in the paranormal world through work. But when I found out when I went to the Goldfield Hotel, I still carried a lot of baggage.
You know, it's interesting when I read your book, because I think in this life, we're all on our own individual journeys, and you got to trust the process, go through the open doors, see what's on the other side. And it's kind of like you had a lot of things happen to lead you into the right direction, to kind of find yourself and find your own abilities.
Yes. And it was so bizarre, because until I sat down to write the book, I didn't understand all the things that were connected. You know, I knew about my work history and things that I was kind of pushed into doing for work, but I didn't think about all the other things that happened my whole entire life. And you're right, every single odd occurrence that growing up and as an adult, I'd say I have a vivid imagination. But when you looked at it, it was all leading me to that night. It was all preparing me for that night without me knowing it.
Now, going back to when you were a child and having some kind of experiences, what happened? Share a couple stories about when you were a kid.
There are two stories that really stand out from when I was quite young. And one was my family, it was my parents and I was the firstborn, lived across the street from the Santa Anita racetrack in Southern California. And it was in a duplex. And I vividly, to this day, remember laying in bed, laying in the crib and looking up and having shadow circus animals, like around the crib. And the circus master who wore a top hat, and that's what I kind of visualized him as, a circus master, and the animals, they were always showing up. And so, you know, I just thought, you know, as I grew up and everything, oh, they were just dreams. It was just a reoccurring dream. But then later, I found out that my mother had seen the same shadow man wearing a top hat once as well. So that was an astounding validation when you think something
right.
You've just dreamed.
That's something in my own life that, when I was a child, I had experienced, and as an adult, got together one night for a family dinner, and we were talking about it, and I shared a story at this house that we lived in, and it had happened to everyone in my family, and we had never talked about it before. So I get that feeling of validation.
Yes. And it's so funny, because they're even among families, because my mother has a gift, you know, but she never talked about it. So, you know, you would think families would say, well, you know, I had something weird happen. But no, we're even all shut up in with our families because we don't want anybody to think we're weird.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, did my grandmother have it? And did she pass it down to my mom? But, you know, she was a pretty practical farm woman. So she certainly never said anything to my mom. And now my mom and I were like, oh, this happened. Oh, that happened. And it's so freeing.
Was your family a pretty religious family growing up?
No, I was the religious, spiritual one mm-hmm. in the family. The second experience I had as a child was I would get these periods where I would just have this downwash of love hit me. And it's really hard to describe, except, you know, I'd be playing, I'd be watching my mom wash dishes, something like that. And just all of a sudden, you would just feel this outpouring of love just drenching you and just tingling all over you. And so that, I, even as a child, I think before I really knew much about God, because my parents, we occasionally went to church when we were kids, but my parents weren't religious. And, but I knew it was God. So I sought him out. So I'd go to all my friends' church. When they go to church, oh, take me. So I've been to all these different places. Just because I knew in my heart, I knew that love was bigger than this world.
I think too that it also is difficult when you have an experience like that and you feel this overwhelming sense of love and you're connecting it to God, but yet you share that with certain people and they're like, oh, no, that couldn't be what you experienced.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so you're scared of even sharing that, but you're also searching for an answer of what it was and mm-hmm. how to reconnect and how to deeper connect with it.
Yes. And the ironic thing about my life is I did have these experiences, which I completely explained away, which I think is very common. You know, mm-hmm. I have a creative mind, a great imagination. What a coincidence. And so I just really buried it. So I became the person that, you know, people go, oh, I saw a ghost. And I'd be thinking, yeah, right, you did. You know, ghosts don't exist, you know. And so I really kind of got a dose of my own medicine when I was told that I needed to work with our college's non-credit paranormal classes and conferences.
Which is so interesting that of all ways you would come in contact with the paranormal would be through your job. And you would think, because I wrote down your job, it was marketing manager for non-credit programs.
Yes,
so it was the workforce health. Development and continuing education. Mm-hmm. Not in a million years would I think that job would ever connect in any way with paranormal. You know what I mean?
No. And, you know, the thing is we had, you know, like a percentage of classes that were for career education and the other one that's just like, you know, belly dancing, creative mm-hmm. writing, things like that. But we were always looking for new teachers. So Janice Oberding, who is a historian and she's a veteran paranormal investigator. She's probably been doing it for 40 plus years. And she came and she talked to my boss and she goes, I want to do a ghost hunting class. And so my boss, you know, she's crazy. I love her. She'll try anything. She's open to anything. And she goes, yes, let's do it. And then my boss came to me and said, okay, you need to interview her. And that really sent me into a spiral.
Yeah, because you were nervous about even talking with her, like your
yes.
perception of her was one thing, but the reality of when you met her was something totally different. You know, I
Absolutely.
Think you thought she'd be scary.
Yeah, well, you know, the stereotypes, mm-hmm. you know, every Halloween movie or horror movie is like that. You know, the spooky voice and the very bohemian garb. Now take it. I know a few people that do that. So, you know, but she was not like that. She was wearing a business suit and she was smart and she had been in management before, you know, she decided to pursue writing and investigations. And, you know, so that was a wake up call. And then, you know, I'm meeting more and more people. We had a presenter at our conference who was a physicist. We had engineers, all these very educated people, you know, and so I think that started kind of putting the chink in my armor, if you will, that, gee, these people, some of them are more educated than I am, and they believe in it.
It was interesting because you still went about it very skeptically, like, this is my job. And
yes.
You know, even when you did want to take a class, it was like, how am I going to explain this? You know, that
know,
people are going to think I'm crazy. But I also get that because, you know, I do talk about paranormal things all day long, every day. And there are people who are like, what's your podcast about? And I'll tell them. And they're like, oh, yeah, that. Kind of,
yeah.
Some people are eye rollers. Some people are
exactly.
like, oh, my mom believes in that. I don't. Some people are like, fascinated by it. So you just never know mm-hmm. who you're going to encounter.
Yeah. And it was interesting because when we did the conference, we experimented with different formats. So for a couple years, we did a conference and you would have people coming in to check in and they're like, oh, I just want cheap thrills kind of thing. You know, I don't believe in this. This is ridiculous, but I just thought it'd be fun. And then as soon as the first or second session was out, they'd come over and go, I have to tell you what happened to me. So I think a lot of people just need to know when they have a safe place.
Yes.
That they can talk
yes.
about it. Because it's very emotionally laden with people thinking that you're stupid or people thinking you're going to hell. And it's just reality, but it's a reality that most of us don't see most of the time.
And you were having experiences like psychic experiences, you know,
yes.
knowing things. So when that's happening in your life, how are you squaring that up with yourself?
Deep denial. Deep denial. You know, winning the African trip. I could never
yeah,
really
go
figure
back
that
and,
one
go
out.
Go back and tell this story.
Okay. We went to Africa and, you know, Africa's not a cheap place. We went on a photo safari and I like lived on popcorn and pancakes for a year to afford it. But anyway, so we went to Kenya and Tanzania. In Kenya, I signed a guest book that said, win a free private safari. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I signed it. And by the time I got home from the safari, there were already, here are raffle tickets. How many are you going to buy? And so I could only afford one. So I bought one ticket and set it next to the door to make sure to put it in the mail. And I had this very vivid dream that I won. But it was a stressful dream because I had already used up all my vacation time plus some. And I was stressed out about having to tell my boss I was taking another long vacation. But I woke up and I just knew. I had this absolute knowing that I won. So I circled the date on the calendar when they'd be announcing who won. And that day came and went, and I told Ken, my significant other, I'm going, I know I won. Why didn't they call? And he's like, you didn't win. You know?
That's why they didn't call.
Yeah. And I'm going, no, I won. And then the next morning they called me, you know, right before I was leaving for work. And they called and said, you won. And I think I probably shattered the guy's eardrums from my screaming.
That is so wild to me that you knew it to that extent. Like, but I won. Why didn't they call me?
Yeah, I could not explain that. You know, the other things when I saw things or I heard things or I knew things, I could explain them away as coincidences. And that one was just a little too far-fetched. But I just buried it once again in denial. You know, it's just something that happened.
And did you get the time off? Were you able to go?
Oh, my boss was wonderful. Yes.
It wasn't like the dream. It's so funny how dreams will happen like that. And you wake up and go, what the heck?
Yeah, really.
Now, so you ended up with your job. There was a class on psychic abilities.
Yes.
And you ended up taking that class. Did that class open up your mind a little bit to what had been happening to you?
Well, the teacher had opened my mind up before I had known her. She had worked with another person in our department. It was like one of 2 years I wasn't involved in the ghost conference. And I was meeting with the woman who coordinated it, and we had decided that the psychic at the conference got this great feedback and, you know, we're going to have her teach for us. And just as the person was getting up to leave my office, my phone rang. And when I picked it up, there was a woman on the other line. She's going, this is going to sound weird. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, I was told to call you. And I'm going, okay, what's your name? And she goes, Vicky Gay. And I'm going, wow, we were just talking about you. So I was blown away that this woman who did not have my phone number, that had never met me in person or talked to me on the phone, my intern had done the publicity for it, So I was just blown away that she knew about it. And at that point, I was like, okay, I want to learn more about this.
And it's so crazy that you want someone to teach a class, a psychic abilities sort of class, and you're like, she'd be perfect. And the psychic you're talking about calls you right then. Like, what the heck?
Well, and then you think about life paths and stuff. Why didn't she call her contact, the coordinator, who was just leaving my office? Why did she call me? I think it was meant to be that she had to call me because it had to start that process of making me more open-minded and to enticing me to take that psychic ability class. I did horribly in that class. Everybody else seemed to be just opening wide open and getting psychic and getting messages, and I didn't. But I really have a lot of respect for the teacher, and it was fascinating. But I thought, oh, I'm just a failure when it comes to psychic stuff because I wasn't even getting 50% right during the exercises.
But then that could kind of feed into your see, I really don't have any of those abilities.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, I was right all along.
Exactly. And that was probably a lot of it was I still thought it was pretty ridiculous and far-fetched and very concerned about how people would see me, especially if they found out at work that I had taken the class, which I knew someone would because I didn't sign up with an alias.
And what's so funny is that you would even care. You know, looking back on it now, I'm assuming Kathleen now would be like, I don't care who knows I'm taking this class. But then, you know, it's like, what if people think I'm weird?
I don't know why we care about being judged by others, but
we do.
But we do. You know, I always pride myself that I'm an intelligent, rational person. And here I was jumping off the deep end of weirdness, you know.
I find with age, I really don't care as much what people think. I spent a lot of time caring in my life about what people who I really don't even know think about me. I wish I'd have had this attitude in my 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, but it's like,
definitely.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting how the perspective changes and you realize I was worrying about all these things that were never important.
Yeah. Well, I really did not want to write this book. I mean, I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. I got my journalism degree in college and I kept trying to fictionalize it because I knew it was an amazing story. And it was like, there is no way I am putting myself out there. But, you know, when the universe, when everything just keeps making sure you do something, you're going to do it. Because I just kept running into walls until I said, okay, I'll do it. And then it just gushed out.
You know, you had been seeing shadow people, so you'd been experiencing more than just like, oh my gosh, I want a safari, which I still think is incredible.
Yes.
But kind of how did then your outlook kind of change and you started kind of opening up a little bit more to experiences? Because you end up going on an investigation, an overnight investigation, which is really interesting. And I want to dive into that in a minute. But what led you to doing that?
Well, since I was in charge of marketing and public relations, I was always fielding media calls to meet with instructors, you know, for all of our programs. And then one day I got a call from the anchor of the CBS affiliate here in Reno. And he's like, set me up. I want to do overnight. I don't want this just to be one night. We're going to do it every night for a week on Halloween. And, you know, and so, you know, I just went about setting it up and making sure that he had the teachers he needed to. Unlike some other PR people, I don't like to micromanage media. I don't like to try to micromanage media. I pretty much just give them the information and make sure they have what they did. But then he turned around and he said, I want you there.
Which is so weird, isn't it? Too, like, that had to have been unexpected. Me? Why do you want me there?
Yeah, it was so unexpected. I mean, he's a very kind and generous man. And he knew that I had worked on some of the different things, you know, to get the logistics in. And he's like, no, you need to come. And I said, but I'm a skeptic and I can't help you in your investigation. What am I going to add to it? And he goes, well, you'll be our impartial observer. And he goes, then that way I have someone, you know, who's there just to question absolutely everything that happens. And he was very clear. He wanted me to come. And Janice Oberding, who's the one that got us started on this road at the college with these classes, really wanted me to come. And I was still going to find a way to sneak out of it until my boss said, you are going. And there was a size limitation. They didn't want more than eight people mm-hmm. in there. Now, this is a four-story huge edifice halfway between Reno and Las Vegas. There's no power. There's no plumbing. There's no water. I mean, it's just, you know, I wouldn't say it was unsafe. I felt like it structurally it was pretty sound, but the owners only wanted eight people. And for a while, it looked like the anchor was going to have more than that. So I thought I'd be off the hook. And then it turned out no. And my boss said, you're going. Because this is your job. PR is your job. You're going to turn down a chance to spend all this time with a television anchor. He goes, you're going.
Oh, see, I was reading that part of the book and I'm like, this is where I would be terrified to spend the night. Because you were there pretty much the entire night, right?
Yes.
That would have terrified me.
But, you know, you know, part of me was like, okay, thinking of Stephen King and blood coming out of walls. And part of me was like, okay, in the evangelical world, everything I'm going to do that night is evil. And if we come across anything, it's the devil. And then the other part was, but nothing exists. I had really, in a lot of ways, convinced myself when I took my sleeping bag inside that dirty, dusty hotel that I'd get bored and I'd just curl up in the corner and go to sleep.
That's not really what happened.
Not at all.
So you go in to do the investigation and I do find that would be, you know, with your attitude, like if you were to experience anything, it would be dark, evil, demonic sort of things. Now, I wouldn't go in with that necessarily, mm-hmm. but that to me would make it even more terrifying.
Yeah, except, you know, I'd been so good about living in denial my whole life. This was just one more thing to bury and just
I guess that's true. What went on when you went in there? Because it really did give you a different outlook.
Yes, it did. Well, even when it was daylight, we had something happen. And I've read that it's considered one of the most haunted places in the U.S. It's been closed to the public since World War II. World War II, it was used for, there was an air base near Tonopah nearby, and I guess the soldiers and their families lived there for a while. But that's the last time it was opened as a business. It was not a place that people get to go in. You see it when you're driving through town because it's huge and it's an amazing building. But the activity just blew me away. I saw things, I felt things, I heard things, I acted weird, and I smelled things. And so, yeah, by the time you finish that, you know, we were in there for about probably 10 hours. Yeah, you can't say no. And I was completely shaken up emotionally and spiritually because it went against everything I believed.
Can you share some of the experiences that happened
Of course, of course. Well, when we first got there, the caretaker for the Goldfield Hotel, Virginia Ridgway, she passed away a couple years ago, but just an amazing woman. And she got us in there and she took us up. She took the TV producer, the anchor, and me upstairs to the vortex room, because she said one of the seven vortexes connected to this one room. Now, with my skeptical mind, I really had to keep my mouth shut. I thought, this is ridiculous.
Because you want to call BS, but you can't really do that.
No, I can't really do that. And she was very sweet and nice. And so, you know, Virginia's having us rub our hands together and then put them out. And she goes, I want you to close your eyes and move in the direction of the energy. Well, we all failed that test. And she's like, oh, you guys didn't go to the right place. And they were talking, and all of a sudden, we heard like this group of people tromping up the stairwell, really loudly. So the anchor said, okay, let's just wait for him before we discuss this more. And nobody ever came up. So he's like, well, maybe this is just their way of saying we better get going and check into the motel, which was going to be our base camp, our bathroom for the night. And so when we went back down, everybody was sitting where they had been when we left. And the cameraman who was working on his equipment, the anchor said, well, why didn't you guys come all the way up and see us? Why did you go up to the stairs and stop? And he's like, well, we haven't moved. You know, we've just been here. And so you're going, whoa, that's really creepy, because all of us heard those steps coming up.
And it's unmistakable what that sound is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the stairwell there is very active. I don't know how much of it is residual, but the stairwell is very active. Also, when we first went in there, Janice took me into this one room. When I found out I was going, I did not research anything about the Goldfield Hotel. There's a lot out there. Ghost Adventures had done a show. There was a book written by some people that lived there. I did everything I could not to know anything about the hauntings, because I didn't want it to taint me. And Janice took me into this room. And the minute I walked in there, I felt like it was the worst case of PMS ever. I mean, it was like I could barely keep it together. I wanted to sob. I felt the most horrible sadness and hopelessness. And then when it came time to walk out, it all lifted off of me. And legend says that it's Elizabeth, who was a teenager and found pregnant, and somebody rich and powerful in town had chained her to the radiator in this tiny little room and left her there until she gave birth, because he didn't want to be embarrassed. Ugh. So, you know, of course, you know, folklore changes and grows, and no one's ever been able to confirm anything, but something bad happened in there. I had never felt such a dramatic mood shift, you know, into the sadness and then back to normal.
And here you are just going along to be impartial, and then you're experiencing all these things.
Yes. Yes. And I tell you, because those two things happened when it was light, when the camera crew was just getting some daylight shots so people could see what it'd be like inside during the day. And so when we went back to the room, a lot of people cleaned up and everything, and then we had dinner. I could barely eat dinner because I all of a sudden realized I can't really expect it to be a quiet night.
Were you kind of dreading it at that point?
Yes, 100%.
And you're stuck. There's no backing out.
No.
So did the night end up meeting your expectations or coming in below your expectations?
It shattered everything.
I was going to say, I read the book.
Yeah, it shattered my views on what's real and what isn't real. It shattered my put God in a tiny little box, you know, view, when you're realizing there's a whole other realm out there. There's a whole other world that I believe that the creator, the universe, the divine still manages. And so I actually, afterwards, I was in shock. I think an emotional shock, and I had a horrible brain fog for like a month. For a month, I could not think about anything else except Goldfield. It's like Goldfield had just filled up my head.
Well, and it was a profound experience too, because I did write down something you said, and you said, over no more than 2 minutes max, I received proof the soul lives on, that it doesn't exist in a lonely void, and that spirits can be around us even if we don't feel them. So not only did you have experiences there, but this also, like in this revelation, happened to you there. So I see why the gold field would have stuck with you after you left.
Yes.
Because that's profound.
Well, and that was my last expectation for that evening was that I would come away spiritually changed. My expectation was that either I'd be bored, but I got to spend a night in a really cool old building, or that something would happen and I would be running out of the hotel, a streak of blue, screaming my full head off and never going back in. So it wasn't anything of what I expected.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Kathleen Berry about her book, A Reluctant Spirit, A True Tale of God, Ghosts, and a Skeptical Christian, available on Amazon. You can get more information about Kathleen at her website, kathleenberry.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.